escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, July 17th, 2025. Good afternoon, and thanks so much for joining us for the Thursday edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Rachel Pearson, filling in for Rob Hart today. A video on TikTok claims to show you a way that parents can help their kids retire with $4 million in their pockets. We'll break it down in our next segment. Right now, though, home builders are slashing prices at the fastest rate in 3 years. As economic concerns continue to weigh on demand, raising the big question, will things finally improve for home buyers? Well, joining us today on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Drew Wishover, founder and owner of Inspired Title Group here in Chicago. Drew, glad to have you with us. I'm curious, pick your brain here, because builder confidence is still in negative territory despite that slight uptick we saw this month. But what's behind, we'll call it, the ongoing pessimism in the housing sector?
Yeah, that's a great question, Rachel, and thanks for having me out here today. There's a lot of things going on in this market that has just been, you know, really kind of perplexing right now. The builder confidence is really down, and it's just saying that, hey, there's going to be modest improvements in these starts in these coming years, but the Chicago real estate market, especially for new construction, I mean, it's rebounded in this first quarter pretty strong. So the momentum is setting a positive tone for the rest of the year. So hopefully that is starting to encourage and excite some of these buyers and give them some confidence that there's going to be a shift in the market.
Yeah. So is this purely momentum that's driving this trend, sort of making it a little bit more palatable for potential buyers? Or are there other factors at play, too?
I think there's a few factors. I mean, I think the excitability of that is that, you know, the buyers are you know, making some moves. They've got these life changes maybe that are happening. They've got family growth. Maybe they want to downsize, and it's time to kind of, you know, re-enter the market. So that's going to force, you know, more of the buyers into this marketplace. And then you've got the other side of this where the buyers today, they want more of these turnkey, already done options. So going into the builders and getting that house that's already completed, they don't have to do any work on it. So I think that's also exciting the market a little bit as well, because the pricing and things have kind of, you know, maintained a reasonable level right now.
Well, and builders are also buying down mortgage rates. That's a strategy compared to just, say, flat out price cuts in terms of effectiveness. Do you think that's going to have an impact on profits for builders?
Of course it will, but I think it's also it's a volume, it's a numbers game for them. I mean, they've got the luxury of having, you know, the mortgage companies that are backed with them, and then they've got realtors that they work with, so they're able to offer these tremendous discounts because, I mean, there is some decent markup in the game of, you know, home building, but they can still fluctuate and buy down some of these mortgages to make it attractive for folks to come out and look at their homes, buy into it, get into their home turnkey, not have to worry about having a mortgage rate that's 6 or 7%. It can be potentially less, because they're probably going to make it up on the back end of that construction cost and keeping those things down.
So, Drew, what's one thing that you're going to be watching for to see sort of if the housing market starts to stabilize in the second half of this year?
I want to see if the inventory is really going to start to increase. I want to see if the sellers are going to come off of the fence and start putting their houses up for sale to kind of keep down the pricing of the, you know, the rising house prices and kind of get that back to some kind of a norm where people aren't overpaying or overbidding for these houses and they're not meeting appraisal values and things. I think that'll really stabilize and help the whole condition of what our market's doing.
Thanks so much, Drew Wishover, founder and owner of Inspired Title Group here in Chicago. Coming up, retiring with millions in the bank with some parental help.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A viral TikTok trend claims teenagers can retire with millions if their parents sacrifice and give kids some big early savings. Many personal finance experts call it part smart, part fantasy. So let's talk about it with Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder of Rapoport Rikus Capital Management here in Chicago. Sherry, this is a TikTok, we'll call it a claim, right? It's a little life hack that claims teens can retire with $4 million for parents to save aggressively. Now, is there any financial truth behind this attention-grabbing trend?
Thank you. And of course, TikTok has a lot of advice, but it's usually in 30-second increments. So it's leaving out a lot of details that I think we can explore here. First of all, it's always great when the parents help their kids. But I work with a lot of parents of kids, and they have to start looking at their own retirement. There's inflation. There's things that they need to take care of. So helping your kids is great. But I think at the point when they get close to retirement, they have to take care of themselves, the parents.
Yeah, well, this is, you know, when you're on an airplane and they say, you know, help yourself and then the child next to you, right? That's the same sort of concept here. But I also want to point out, there's got to be something said for quality of life. Because, yes, a parent can pinch and save and have zero hobbies just to give their kid a little financial leg up. Is it worth it down the line?
You know, it's hard to say, but there are things parents can do. First of all, they can model good behaviors for their kids, so their kids learn at an early age to be financially responsible. They can encourage their kids to save, and even when the kids are young, maybe 16, have their first job, they can, let's say they make $1,000, the parents can match that and put it in a Roth IRA that will be great for the kids long term, and they'll. I always say that's the best gift the kids will thank their parents in 50 years because that grows tax-free. I often hear a lot of times the kids, young adults, live at home for the first year, maybe after college, and then they can save money and get a head start on the savings. Some of these TikTok videos that I've seen are kind of encouraging kids to not go to college, live at home for 3 or 4 years, save a lot of money, and some of them even claim that if they save, what, $20,000 a year, you know, in 40 years, it'll be worth $4 million, which is jaw-dropping and exciting when kids hear that. But what they forget about is inflation. And $4 million today could be like $1 million in spending power in 40 years. So you can't be fooled by the headlines. But there is some good with the TikTok. If it can encourage kids to start saving early, I'm all for that.
Thanks so much, Sherry Greco-Rikus, co-founder of Rapoport Rikus Capital Management in Chicago. Up next, we're going to take a look behind a rise in retail sales.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Retail sales rebound as trade tensions seem to ease. Shoppers are back, spending more strategically, and helping keep the economy on a steady growth track. So let's talk about it with Jennifer Waters, Chicago-based business reporter. Jennifer, retail sales beating expectations last month. What's driving this rebound, and how much of it's tied to these eased trade tensions?
Hi, Rachel. Thank you for having me. You know, I think the eased trade tensions are really helping out. Consumers, and you kind of touched on it, are really being very strategic in how they're shopping these days. And there were a ton of sales last month, too. And yes, we saw some prices drop on things, but we also saw prices rise. And so some of those, you know, rising prices are going to boost retail sales at the same time. But remember, we also saw inflation on Tuesday. That went up 2.7%, which is higher. You know, in May, it was 2.4%. So some economists will tell you that, you know, the trend is there, but we haven't seen a big impact from the tariffs yet because some of them haven't even gone into effect yet. So, you know, I think we need to be cautious about how we see these things going forward. I think there's still a lot of wait and see out there between retailers themselves and businesses, as well as consumers.
Yeah, and I think we sort of touched on this. A lot of that wait and see is showing up in what people are buying and not buying. What are some examples of this prioritization you mentioned?
Well, I mean, for example, what we saw with the inflation, for example, airfares and hotel and motel sales prices went down in May, or in June rather, excuse me, which then would signal that there's a softening of demand there. So, you know, so then they'll do that. But we saw, you know, we saw a lot of sales. You know, we've got this, the Prime Day sales. And what Amazon has done is created this whole sales environment that, you know, lasts a good month or longer, you know, through the summer. We saw some sales for back to school stuff in June, which is crazy, but it's happening. I think the most important thing we're going to see is the fourth quarter results, what those are going to be, because obviously that is one of the most important times of the year, given the holidays. And, you know, inventory management at many of these retailers has been kind of tight. And so we'll kind of see how things shake out then. And if by then some of these tariffs are put in place and some of these prices have gone up because of it, we will see retail sales rise because of price increases. But, you know, we'll have to keep an eye on inflation, too.
That's Jennifer Waters, Chicago-based business reporter. Still ahead in our Technology Thursday segment, we'll talk about integrating AI into your existing business.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rachel Pearson in for Rob Hart. Stocks are trading higher, and joining us this afternoon on the Village of Bedford Park Business Line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk, based here in Chicago. Mike, glad to have you with us. Stocks are certainly higher, so what's fueling this optimism? Would you say it's more about strong earnings, solid economic data, maybe a little bit of A, a little bit of B?
Yeah, good afternoon, Rachel, and thanks for having me on. Yeah, it's a little of both. We've had some benign inflation numbers over the last month. So that's helping the rally. And then, you know, second quarter earnings have been great so far. Now, we've had the banks. We haven't had the big guys yet. So we're waiting on tech, NVIDIA, Meta, Google, all those guys. That's not for another few weeks. But so far, there's nothing that has come out that is rattling markets. The tariff situation certainly is a risk. But right now, earnings have been good enough that really it seems like investors are tuning out the tariff noise and focusing on the earnings.
Yeah, and let's talk about those earnings, because nearly 9 out of 10 companies reporting have been beating expectations. And again, we're going to talk the big 7 aside, right? We'll leave technology out of this, but just even sectors like consumer goods and travel. What does that say about corporate health, and is that something that's going to continue into the back half of the year here?
Profit margins are at all-time highs. and that you can almost go every sector. Yeah, I mean, corporate America is very healthy, even if the consumer is maybe not as much so. You know, we've seen, as you said, we've seen nothing but good earnings so far. But again, let's just see when the big tech guys come out. I do think that they will follow suit. But, you know, that is really what's going to drive any move up to 6,500 in the S&P or higher. So we'll have to wait and see over the next few weeks.
Yeah. What do you see as the biggest threat to the financial markets right now?
Well, the obvious thing is tariffs, and that is number one. But I think investors are taking it, you know, the news that comes out is a little bit of bluster more than what actually is going to happen. I think they're starting to read Trump as negotiating and certainly talking tough. But what happens behind closed doors seems to end up being more benign. So, you know, it's tariffs are number one. Inflation is number two. But so far, again, now inflation data has come out, basically all the pricing indexes have been fine. So far in the last few months, so good. But again, that is definitely a risk in the second half here. So tariffs and inflation are the two things that could derail this rally.
Yeah, Mike. I mean, you touched on traders seemingly tuning out some of that tariff noise. You're inspiring me to write a children's book, right? The Trader Who Cried Tariff, because we've heard it so many times. But I do want to quickly touch on some Fed related drama, because President Trump is hinting at then, you know, circling back and backpedaling on firing Chair Jerome Powell. So how are the markets interpreting that mixed information?
Well, when it came out initially, the dollar fell dramatically and the markets did as well. But then, you know, President Trump walked it back. Some of his advisors walked it back. I don't think that's going to happen. Okay. I think Powell's job is safe, because the thought of, you know, we have an independent Fed, and the look of a president firing the Fed chair, that just does not jive with an independent Fed. So I can't believe that the Donald's going to go through with that. He certainly has said some pretty attacking things on Powell, but you know, he wants Powell to start lowering rates more, and it's not happening at the pace he wants. I don't think any president in history has ever been happy with the Fed lowering rates fast enough. So it's not just Trump. It's been the case forever. But yeah, he's not getting the rate cuts he wants. But I don't think that there's going to be anything beyond just Powell, you know, serving out his term, and then they'll replace him next year.
Thanks so much for joining us, Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk. Up next in Technology Thursday, employing AI to spark new ideas and strategies in businesses.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday, and today we're going to get some advice on deploying AI in existing businesses and talk about how taking some small steps can help it grow and deliver real results. We welcome Matt Wren, tech expert and founder at VRAR Chicago here in Chicago. Matt, AI can definitely sound overwhelming for a small to say mid-size business, but what would you say is the most approachable way for a company to start using artificial intelligence?
Thanks for having me back. The first most obvious thing that a lot of people will do is you just go to like a ChatGPT or you go to Gemini and you get that prompt where it says ask me anything, and you just ask it a question and have it, you know, it's almost like a chatbot, like you can start a conversation with it. That's the first thing that almost anyone's going to do with AI. And what can come out of that is frankly one of the easier use cases that a lot of folks can start to do when you're actually going to integrate it into your business, which would be some of the basic content creation, some of the knowledge work where, you know, if you have to write emails or if you have to write a report or if you have to, you know, do some social media posts and you need help with either the editing or the idea generation or possibly even helping with some research, you can use the AI for that. So, you know, sort of level one, really just basic getting started is interacting with these sort of AI chatbots and you know, bouncing your ideas off them and using them as a sort of editorial help. That's the first, most basic and really easy way to get started.
Yeah, I like to think of ChatGPT as a resurrected Ask Jeeves. Remember that? You know, you could just ask it anything. And here's the other thing. You could just ask ChatGPT how to integrate AI into your business, and it would probably also give you some good suggestions. I do want to touch on this, though, because there are business owners who are going to listen to this, and they're worried about AI, you know, replacing their employees rather than empowering them. What do you say to that concern?
I mean, I think some of it's AI is not at that point yet, or at least I don't think AI is at that point yet. It can do some of the low level work, but it really is still, you know, limited in the capacity of what it's capable of. So it's still only going to be sort of at that average level of somebody, whereas anyone who's skilled is going to be better at doing whatever they're doing than AI is. That said, a lot of the functions that people might do as part of their job, those can be replaced. So, you know, what I was going to say sort of is like the second level, once you get past that, just, you know, interacting with the chatbot, and you want to sort of go to the next level of doing things with AI in your business, is you can get to doing some basic automations, things that somebody would do as part of their job, like, you know, sorting emails and possibly drafting responses, or some of the basic data entry and data like reporting. AI is really good at doing a lot of the automation around those types of repetitive tasks. Again, it can't completely replace the person that's doing it yet. It can supplement them. It can support them. But it's not quite at the level where you could completely replace somebody. Again, unless you've got somebody who that's really all they're doing. But I don't think a lot of folks are, you know, there's not a lot of companies where there's employees at this point who are just like, all they're doing every month is generating the weekly report. You know, that's one facet of their task. So I don't think it's really much a replacement as much as a supplement.
Right. But we also have employees, you know, in areas like customer support. And I think that's also where we're starting to see some of these mid-sized businesses integrate AI is in generating, you know, chat bots or automated phone calls. I had to get my AC repaired and I had an entire conversation with AI to connect me then with the right person. And it listened and it was very personable. But I think that's another layer to this, too.
Right. And I would say that what you're seeing now is you're starting to see AI sort of act as that like what a lot of us used to be really annoyed with, which was the phone tree, you know, press one to get to this, press two to get to that. Now it's more conversational and you're talking to an AI chatbot, but it's asking a lot of the similar questions. And realistically, that's what the AI is actually very good at is it's very good at saying, okay, I need to determine some really basic information to finally determine who I'm going to connect you with. But ultimately, it still does have to connect you with somebody. It's not going to, you know, it can do some very basic stuff on its own. Like if you're scheduling a service call, it could probably do that without actually forcing you to interact with a person.
Yeah, but it's not going to fix my air conditioning.
It's not solve a problem, right? Yeah, it's not going to come out there and solve a problem. And that is a kind of like the next step. Like if you want to talk about the top three things that people are using AI for in business, they're using it themselves where they're interacting with those chatbots, and they're using it for idea generation or editorial. Number two, they're using it for kind of automation in the workflow. Number three is they're starting to implement it as a tool, you know, sort of that first line of customer support or that chatbot on their website, or honestly, like a scheduling assistant. These are all things that AI is very good at, you know, being a little bit better than, you know, just sort of like a static tool. AI can understand some of the context, but it's still not quite at the point of replacing a full-time employee, but at the same time, it can be very helpful and it can automate a lot of those tasks that normally would, you know, take someone a lot of time.
Thanks so much for the insight, Matt Wren, a tech expert and founder of VRAR Chicago.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, you can earn airline elite status without frequent flying. Just use co-branded credit cards, shop smart, and stack up your perks. Joining us to explain is Ted Rossman, industry analyst at Bankrate.com in New York. Ted, it seems like elite status is meant for what it sounds like, the elite. How realistic is it for the average traveler to earn those perks?
It's actually pretty easy. If you get an airline or hotel co-branded credit card, you can use your everyday spending to get some travel perks. Also, even some general purpose credit cards will help you with elite status. The Amex Platinum card is a popular example. Just by signing up for that card, you're automatically going to get Hilton and Marriott Gold status. Now, I should caution that these are the lowest levels of the elite programs. They're not going to totally roll out the red carpet for you, but there are some additional benefits. For example, in the case of those hotel programs, you might expect something like an occasional room upgrade or maybe late checkout or something like that.
I also think that there's got to be a way to this. I'm going to equate it to when people intentionally take vacation days ahead of long holiday weekends to make the most of those days off. I'm assuming that there's probably a similar hack with flights, right? Choosing when to book that flight, maybe pick a longer flight, earning more miles, things like that.
One big change in recent years is that these have become more about how much you spend rather than how much you fly. Some years back, people would do these crazy mileage runs and they would get cheap flights and they would just run up a lot of actual flight miles. Now, miles are awarded much more on how much you spend, really in two ways. One would be credit card spending, and that could be anything. That could be gas or groceries or utility bills or whatever you buy. The other part is how much you spend with the airline. So a lot of them now are awarding not exactly how many miles you flew, but more of a multiplier based on how much you spent. It's actually rewarded business travelers because they don't tend to be as price conscious. A lot of them are booking expensive, short turnaround flights. And also people who don't tend to fly as far. So, you know, if it's a shorter flight that costs more money, that's actually going to rack up more miles than actually flying thousands of miles. You can use this to your advantage by spending smartly. It's really all about turning your everyday spending into rewards. If you're loyal to a certain airline or hotel, maybe get their card. If you're not as loyal, get a general purpose card that gives you more diversification and flexibility.
Thanks so much for the insight. Ted Rossman, industry analyst at Bankrate.com, based in New York. Of course, if you missed any part of today's show, you can go to our stream and just skip back to the time you want. There's even a pause and rewind function that works both online and with the Odyssey app.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.